Father, we praise you tonight as we have come together, Lord, to reclaim community through our communion. We're here tonight to proclaim our oneness and our unity with our Lord. Father, we're so thankful for our Savior. Lord, I just pray tonight, especially for Eleanor, Lord, just being with her, healing her body, reducing all the swelling, oh God, in her legs, giving the people there at the rehab center just wisdom to know how to help her, and so she'll be able to come back here to Texas. And Lord, we also lift up James and Jimmy, Lord, just bringing healing to his body and strength to Jimmy. And oh Lord, be with them in such a mighty way tonight. And Lord, as I pray, every time we celebrate communion, if we have in any way sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, grieved, quenched, vexed, saddened the Holy Spirit of God in any way, oh Lord, we go to the throne of grace. We run to the throne of grace, that place of mercy, that place of grace, that place where the blood of Jesus was poured out. And we say, thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us. Secret sins, presumptuous sins, known and unknown sins, oh God, everything is forgiven. And Lord, tonight we look to you and only you as we celebrate you, our Savior, for who is with us even now. We love and praise you now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Turn in your Bibles tonight. We're just going to be in a couple of places to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And remember, you know, if you're visiting with us tonight, we set aside the last Wednesday of every month to celebrate communion. And so what we've done, we're going to have a shorter service tonight so we can all go to the cafe. There's food that's been prepared, and it's all, of course, free. And it's a time for y'all to go back to where you celebrate your unity. Amen? You celebrate your oneness, but also when you go back, it's a great, I want you to have a wonderful time, and the Lord wants you to have a wonderful time. But what tonight, when you do go back, listen, pray one for another. You know, you're sitting beside someone tonight, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what's happening maybe in their life, even though that by their countenance sake, they look wonderful and happy and everything is fine. Ask God, say, Lord, how can I pray for that individual? What does that person need? And the Holy Spirit will tell you, amen? Now, tonight, you know, we've gathered on this last night of August. Can you believe this August is over? I think about that and I say, oh, Lord. You know, the Lord's Supper, as we know very well, is not a ritual. The Lord's Supper is relational. We're here with the Lord. We're his body. We're partakers of his divine nature. We're members of the body of Christ. He is the head of the church. He's here with us. And so this partaking of communion, koinonia, intimacy, that fellowship, that partaking of, are the sharing in the oneness that we all celebrate. Not sameness, we're all different, but we're all one in the body of Christ. Amen? Members one of another. So tonight we were claiming our community through communion, but we're also proclaiming the unity that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, August has always been a very special time and a special month for me personally. But you know, when you think about this, now it's all over, August is gone. It's a time to return to the routines, isn't it? You know, if you have children, or maybe you're older like me, you know, like 45, and you're empty nesters, and thank God. And no, I'm just. But you know, if you have kiddos, you know what? It's a return to the routine, isn't it? The kids are in school, and everything starts flowing again, and so forth. But it's also, you know, summer. It's the end of August, which is marking the soon or the end of summer and the beginning, before we know it, of fall and so forth. You know, summer. Did you know that summer is a promise from God? You ever do studies in the Bible about like that? You know, and I think about the summer season that we're in right now, the ending of this summer season in a sense, and it's a promise from the Lord. You remember when Noah, when he the flood destroyed the old world, and now he's in the new world, he and his family, there's eight of them. And remember what they did? The first thing that Noah did when he came out of the ark was to build an altar unto the Lord. The very first thing he built there in the new world, if you will. An altar, and they poured out the blood there, that burnt offering, the oldest offering in the Bible and probably the oldest offering known to man. And there, eight people, eight being the number of a new beginning, August is the eighth month, the number of a new beginning. Maybe you need a new beginning tonight. I don't know. But God will give you one. And then there they celebrate and they worship the Lord and remember the promise that God, he actually spoke it to himself out of his heart. The Lord said from Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, he said this, he said, while the earth remains, say that with me, while the earth remains, that's very important. He said, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, here it comes, winter, summer, and day and night shall not cease. That's a promise from Almighty God. Did you know that this summer, we've just experienced together the summer of 2016, and we've experienced it because God promised that summer would never cease, okay? And the Bible tells us in Psalm 74, 17, it says, you have made summer, you have made the winter. What we read there in Genesis, it says, while the earth remains. That means, loved one, that this earth is temporal. It's temporary. This is not our home. We have no continuing city here, but we do look for one to come, don't we? You know, since this is so temporary, maybe we ought to change, or maybe we should really start thinking about things differently, because this, we live on a temporary planet. It says in 2 Peter 3:10, it says the earth and all the works of it, in it, they're going to be all burned up. Everything that man has worked for, fought for, it's all going to go. It's all going to be burned away. You know, the question is, we have 122 days left this year. Just 4 months. Think about that. If you could say to yourself, how would you like to live those days? What would you choose? I would pray that you would say that you would want to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Look with me. Now you should be in John chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door of the shepherd of the sheep, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. And here is why. For they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will run or flee from him, for they do not know, they do not follow, if you will, the voice of strangers. You know, loved one, listen, there's only really two voices in this world. The voice of the good shepherd, amen, and then the voice of the shepherd. Everyone on this planet's going to follow either one. I pray that you're following the good shepherd tonight. And you know, Jesus says that the sheep, they know his voice. They know his voice. You know how it's amazing that you can be in a mall that's crowded, or in a maybe even a restaurant that's packed, like let's say Julio's, if you can afford to eat there, you know. Iced tea is $3 or something. Hello. I need all the help I can get tonight. And as loud as it is in that cafe, restaurant, or whatnot, someone could say your name, and you, even in the midst of it, you know it, don't you? I mean, it's just your mind or your hearing of the ear is tuned into it. Well, Jesus said, you know what? My sheep, they know my voice. They will in no way follow a stranger, but when they hear that strange voice, they run from it. You know, if you're not following Jesus, then you're following the voice of something else. But I pray that you listen to the voice of the great shepherd of the sheep tonight. Drop down to verse 10 there in John, in Gospel of John. First of all, let's look at Satan's plan. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's Satan's plan. Look at Jesus' plan. I have come that they, meaning his sheep, that's us, may have what? Life. Yes, that's eternal life, no doubt. And that they may have it more abundantly, or they may have it to the full, or they may have it to till it overflows. I tell you, I like Jesus' plan a lot better, don't you? Absolutely. Listen, all believers have eternal life. All believers have are going to be with the Lord forever and ever. But here in our statement, this is talking about not just eternal life, it's talking about life now. Not then, but now. In other words, that to have that abundant life, and not all celebrate that abundant life that they do have. You know, mankind, people on this earth, they know everything there is to know about life. They just don't know how to live it abundantly. Amen? But Jesus knows exactly how. And we know that to have the abundant life, you must abide in the vine. The place, and he is the vine. We are the branches, all the places of that nourishment and so forth. You know, we are the sheep of his pasture. Amen? Not only that, we have the good shepherd, and that's abundant life. You know, if you study out the Bible, for example, in verse 11 here in the Gospel of John that we're reading from, you know, it says that Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. That means that the good shepherd, he dies for the sheep. And then if you studied out other passages, for example, the great shepherd, you'd find out, and I think it's Hebrews 13 or something, it says that the great shepherd, he lives for the sheep. And then in 1 Peter, I believe it is, 5:4, someplace in that area, it talks about then the chief shepherd, meaning Jesus. You know what the chief shepherd's going to do? The chief shepherd comes for the sheep, meaning in the rapture, which could happen tonight, or maybe tomorrow night, or maybe next week, we don't know. But one thing I do know this, that the only way to have an abundant life is to have the good shepherd. Amen. With all that being said, just turn in your Bibles quickly to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, which you know by heart, that personal prayer, if you will, that we pray here at Calvary Chapel often. And it's a very personal prayer because of the fact that David uses my over and over and over. But the reason that we can have that abundant life is because The Bible says that the Lord is my what? The Lord is my shepherd. Think about that for a minute. The Lord is my shepherd. It's very personal. And David says, and we should say it the same way, I shall not lack. I shall want for nothing. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Listen, I'm so thankful that he watches over me because I need to be tended to. Aren't you? Yes, you're a mess. Oh, come on. And God, that's why we have to have a shepherd. Sheep must have a shepherd. We get in trouble. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the way to have the abundant life, is to know who your shepherd is, and is Jesus Christ our Lord. And the word there is in the present tense. The Lord is my shepherd right this minute. And going on every day, he's taking care of me. Every moment, whether I'm asleep or whether I'm awake. And not only that, he makes me lie down in green pastures, plural. Green pastures, not old dried up lousy dirt bowl. You know what I'm saying. Green pastures. And not only that, he does something else. It says that he leads me beside still or untroubled or peaceful waters. Do you know how skittish sheep are? God, they're so skittish. Did you know that a sheep will not lay down? You know, if he's hungry, if he hasn't been well fed, he won't lay down until he gets full. But see, it says here that he's already fed them. He's already taken care of them. Why? He knows exactly the pasture that we need to be in. Amen? Some of us try to pick our own pasture. Jesus says, no, no, no. I'm the shepherd. You're the sheep. You follow me if you hear my voice. Amen? And that's what's so needed. Jesus told us in John 6:35 tonight, as we're going to be celebrating communion, he said this, I'm the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Maybe tonight, talking about that abundant life that we have, that we need to live in, maybe tonight you need to be revived. That's why it says about my shepherd that he restores my soul, my being, or literally that word restores means that he revives me. He gives me my life. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That means it's without any human merit on my part. He's the one doing the leading. I'm the one doing the following. When I am worn out, when I don't know which way to turn, you know what Jesus does? He restores me. He restores you. He gives you the energy, the strength to do what you need to do in your life. Amen. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things, not some things. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And then he says, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, whether walking through the valley of the shadow of death means the circumstances of life now, or if it means that final day when we close our eyes in death, if you will, in sleep, the word sleep is used for the Christian, not that we go into soul sleep, we go to the presence of the Lord. But I know that he's always protecting me and he's always protecting you. Amen. Does it get any better than that? No, no matter what we're facing in this life. And you know, sometimes we don't know what we're facing. We know or maybe feel the circumstance, but we don't know why it's happening. I tell you, Jesus does. He knows everything and he's not worried. He's not worried about things that you're facing right now. You might be, and worry is really a sin because worry pretends there's no God. You see, God is real. Jesus is real. This is what's temporary. We don't worship the temporary. We don't worry about the temporary because we have the eternal. Our home is in heaven. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you know what? You're always going to take care of me. Even if it's the very time, at the very end, you see, I have no fear and neither do you of that final day. You know, death is called an enemy in the Bible, but Jesus has already tasted death for you. As we celebrate communion tonight, we need to remember that. Amen. He's tasted death to the fullest. He's destroyed the one who had the power over death, the devil. And he did it all for you and he did it all for me. He says, then he goes, look what our shepherd does. He prepares a table, watch this now, in the presence of my enemies. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Or is your cup running over tonight? Well, it's running over with problems. Don't look at it that way. Jesus says, no, I'm going to fill you to the very full. Amen. That's the abundant life. You know, we need to stop. If we start looking at circumstances, it will steal our faith. What we must do is look at the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. He anoints your head with oil. That's speaking to, for the Christian, it would mean the Holy Spirit of God. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, God is so good. He says, you know what, when we have a problem there with our enemies, he says, let me just set you a table, the full provision of what you want, and you'll be able to sit down. Look at verse 6 now. It says, surely, that means it is certain, it is a fact. Surely, goodness and mercy will what? Will follow me. That's a verb, okay? That verb there means to literally to overtake you, like an animal that's in hot pursuit of you. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me. How long? All the days of my life. Is that right? All the days of my life. Think about it, that God's love, his mercy, that means his covenant love, his mercy, his goodness is in hot pursuit of you, wanting to overtake you and will overtake you. It's right there. And every time I teach from that scripture, I always tell you the same thing. Look back. And when you do, you know what's following you? Goodness and mercy. God's goodness and God's mercy. All the days of your life. And what does David say? He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful word? Forever. That means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That means you're home at last. You're finally there. You're in the place of no tears, no sorrow, no death, no nothing but the joy of God. Amen. And that's what, that you know, why do we work so hard to take so many vitamins? And now I have people coming, I wear these watches, tells me how many steps I take a day. You may have one on right now. Raise your hand if you, no, don't do that. And I'm going to 10,000 steps a day because I'm going to, you know, and I'm going, man, we're just walking ourselves to death, you know? I have one too, so don't worry about it. But no, and I said, why do we work so hard to keep ourselves out of the place we say we want to go? Heaven. We say, no, we want to stay. Do we really want to stay here? The only reason I want to stay here is see more people come to Christ, to see more people changed. Paul said, you know, it's for me to depart, you know, boy, to die is gain. It's a wonderful thing. He said, I want to go home, but it's better that I stay here. It's better that I stay here that you might bear fruit. and that he can teach the word all the things. You know, one day at the end of our journey, it's going to be a celebration, and it will be a celebration for all eternity. We will be in a place, now think about it, where nothing will ever, ever go wrong. How wonderful is that? There's one other thing I want to share. We have plenty of time. I'm not rushing it, so because I know you want to go eat and all the rest of it. But listen, to have the abundant life, we have to know that the abundant life is a life of service to God. If we're not in serving the Lord, it will not be the abundant life that we can all have. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul the Apostle, and we're in the book of Romans on Sundays right now. And you know, if you remember, you know, from chapter 1 in Romans all the way through chapter 11, all that Paul does is tell us all the benefits that we have in Christ Jesus and who we are and how we're saved and all the rest of it and how we're justified before God, freely justified, I may add, by the blood of Jesus. And then only when we get to chapter 12 in Romans does God ask us to do something. And Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. In other words, I'm urging you, I plead with you, I'm begging you. Isn't it amazing that God used that word? The Holy Spirit made Paul, when he was writing it, to use the word beg and entreat. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Mercies of God, chapter 1, all the way to chapter 11 of Romans. By the mercies of God, that you do something. That you present yourself. And the word present there is a picture of an Old Testament, like the priest of the Old Testament, presenting an offering upon the altar. He says that you present yourself a living sacrifice. What did Paul say? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Paul says, listen, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, that you present your bodies, every inch of you, all of you, your bodies as a living sacrifice. God doesn't want you to die for him. God wants you to live for him. Amen. And he goes on and he says that it's holy, meaning set apart for God, that it's acceptable to God, which is your, here it comes, your reasonable service. The abundant life is always found in service to God. The key to the abundant life is not getting everything you can, it's giving all you can to God. Yourself, amen? See, that's what it's all about. And you know, so many Christians today, for some reason, it's like they're afraid to give themselves wholly to the Lord. I'll tell you, there's not a better place to be than in the perfect will of God. That's the perfect place to be. That is the place of all of our provision. You know, God wants to use you for the supernatural, laying hands upon the sick, or maybe like Peter, making you the water walker. I don't know, but God wants to use you. But he wants more than your body. He wants your mind. That's why it says in verse 2, it says, and be not conformed, don't be molded after or patterned after, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And why? Renewing of your mind to what? The word of God. And the reason, look what it says, if you're in Romans, but I can read it to you. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's the reason, that you may prove, that you may put to the test, that you may know, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are only two types of minds on this planet. One that is conformed to the things of this world, and the other that is transformed to the things of God. And the Bible, when you open up the precious word of God, as I have said for the last 20 some odd years here, this is the basis. This is the beginning. Opening up your Bibles, renewing your mind. This is the basis of all transformation. Amen? Knowing God's word, believing God's word, acting upon God's word. And you know what happens to Christians who choose not to renew their minds? They miss the plan of God. See, God has the plan for you, but only you can discover the plan for yourself by being in God's word and the Holy Spirit working in your life, listening to the Holy Spirit, and so forth. If you don't present yourself as a living sacrifice, renewing your mind to God, loved one, listen, you're not going to know how to defeat the enemy. You're not going to know how to have a marriage that God says is a good marriage, or how to walk pleasing in His sight, and all of those other things. You'll never know your God's will, and that means you'll not have the abundant life. You'll just be seeking through this life. You know, the psalmist has said this: God's paths drip with abundance. Boy, is that a good word? The narrow way drips with abundance. As would the ushers get ready now, if you would, and let's start serving out the elements, please. And, you know, that's what we want. We want that abundant life. Now, tonight, as we fellowship with the Lord, as we fellowship with one another, it's very important, you know, that we remember our Savior tonight as you hold that cup and as you hold the bread in your hands. And we need to look and celebrate the oneness that we have. Now listen, Jesus is not in the manger. Amen? Jesus is not on the cross. Jesus is not in the tomb. You know where Jesus is? He is with us right now. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Well, He's here. And I thank God that He's here with us tonight. The Bible tells us, as we pass out the elements tonight, as we look at our oneness, the first thing that we're told to do is that we need to look back. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:24, it says, when Jesus had given thanks, He broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And then He said these words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that's what, when you hold that cup tonight, when you hold the bread in your hands, when we partake, loved one, do it in remembrance of what Jesus has done. You look back to the cross. He took your sins. He died your death. He took our shame, our guilt. Amen. Oh, I say, "Oh God, you're so good to us. I'm so thankful." It says, "In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim," or you preach, "the Lord's death till He comes." So we look back at the cross, all that Jesus has done for us. And now we look ahead. It says we proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. You know what? Jesus is coming. He really is going to come for His church. I don't know when, but I'll tell you what, there's not one prophecy that needs to be fulfilled or that is left to be fulfilled for the rapture to occur. It may occur today, whenever it does, but it will happen. It says in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, He said, "Watch therefore, for you don't know what hour the Lord or your Lord is coming." So we look back, we look ahead, and now we look within. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and will be guilty of the blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself." Look into your heart. Look into your heart. And He says, "Examine himself, and so let him then eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Boy, I'll tell you, that's what we all must do tonight. We need to look within. Matter of fact, I start looking within early this morning, because I know that I'm going to be celebrating communion tonight with you, and I want to look into my heart. I want to seek the Lord, and I want to make sure that, Lord, if there's anything there, because you know what? We've all sinned. Amen. Come on. We've all sinned by word. Maybe today, mad at somebody. I was mad at a guy on the freeway, man. He was driving me crazy. These people that text and just come right over into your lane. You know, I mean, am I the only one that troubles? So, I mean, I wasn't a happy camper. So I already got in trouble once, you know. Then I thought I wanted to kind of beat the sheep today. And there's another, see what I'm saying? There's the second sin. No, listen, I'm being serious now. We need to look within our hearts. And we need to also, when we go back in a moment to the cafe, I pray it's a holy time back there. The food is already prayed over. It's already blessed, already given thanks for. I pray you get to know someone that you don't know, that you pray one for another's needs and so forth. That's so important. The Bible says, pray one for another that you might be healed. Amen? So tonight, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, for the bread, for the cup. Oh God, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And we're so thankful that our sins tonight are as far as the east is from the west, buried there in the depths of the sea, forgotten by my Father in heaven, never to be remembered again. Oh Lord Jesus, you indeed, we remember you, what you did on the cross. You indeed are the bread of life. We're so thankful you came down from heaven to a people rebellious and stiff-necked and haters of God, and you saved us. You saved us, oh God. We praise you tonight. And even tonight, Lord, as we partake of communion, it is our prayer, oh God, as we looked within, examined our hearts, Lord, if there be any illness in our midst, any sickness in any of our bodies, known or unknown, by your mercy, by your goodness, by the word of God that says, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. Oh God, by your word that says, I am the Lord God who healeth all thy diseases. Lord, we look to you, the great physician, that you would touch our bodies, that you would bring instantaneous healing to our bodies. Oh God, we praise you for that. For by your stripes, indeed, we're healed, not only spiritually, but Lord, physically. You who bore all of our griefs, meaning our sicknesses, as Isaiah has said. Oh God, we love you. We praise you tonight. We celebrate our oneness. We proclaim our unity that we have in Christ. As tonight we all partake of the bread, let us partake in Jesus' name. This is the cup of the new covenant. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Oh Lord, thank you that we have a better covenant based on better promises, because we have the greatest mediator between God and man, the one man, Christ Jesus. We give you thanks tonight. We celebrate your presence. We celebrate our Savior. We celebrate our oneness. In Jesus' name, let us partake. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. I am thankful, Father, for the sheep at Calvary Chapel, knowing that they are truly the sheep of your pasture, knowing that you love them, that you help them, lead them, guide them, protect them. I thank you, Lord, that you have furnished a table for them, even in the wilderness that we call the world. And Lord God, you'll always provide their every need. Even when they are faithless, Lord, you cannot deny yourself. You cannot deny your word. You remain faithful. We're so thankful. We love you and we give you praise tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We're going to close with a song, and listen very carefully now. As soon as the song is over, what I'd like for you to do is this. First of all, those that do not need prayer, then go directly and go get your child. Amen? Don't go to the cafe and eat, then go get your child. All right, go get your children and then bring them to the cafe with you. and do that first, all right? And then whoever would like to have prayer or needs prayer tonight, whether whatever it might be, there'll be people here to pray with you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I love you dearly. Let's sing to the Lord.